WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Too often, the African-American and Scots-Irish folk traditions are seen as totally separate streams, which only came together when Elvis Presley joined them on a single record. In the first of a two-part series, rock historian Ed Ward shows that things were never that simple, and that black and white music were influencing each other even before Elvis's mother was born.
What kind of music is this we're hearing? The answer's fairly obvious. It's so-called old-timey music, the sort of country music which predated and gave birth to bluegrass and disappeared in the 1930s as more modern forms emerged. Now, what about this? Blues, which originated in Mississippi around the turn of the century and gave birth to a whole genre of American music. But what you couldn't have guessed, because you can't see the musicians performing these tunes, is that the first group was made up of African Americans, and the guitar player on the second piece was Frank Hutchinson, who was white and from the coal mining country of West Virginia, where black and white miners lived together in shared poverty. These two may be extreme examples, but they illustrate a solid point. No matter what musical segregationists might say or wish, the line between so-called black and white musical traditions in America has always been very porous. What's really ironic is that the banjo, played here by a noted black Nashville street musician, Nathan Frazier, has become identified with white country music when the instrument's origins are indisputably West African. Played by whites initially as part of the minstrel show, in which they impersonated blacks, it was soon taken up enthusiastically by less showbiz-oriented types. Although it's equally indisputable that many of the fiddle tunes the banjo has come to accompany are of Celtic origin, every major banjo style, until Earl Scruggs introduced the three-finger roll style of picking in the 1940s, was a black innovation. So, of course, was the blues. But long before people looked at Eric Clapton or Johnny Winter and asked if white folks could play the blues, they were already doing it. Whites were enthusiastic purchasers of blues records from the beginning. The sales of Mamie Smith's 1921 Crazy Blues, the first record to use the word, can't be explained any other way. This paved the way for one of the first American superstars.
Standing on the corner, I didn't mean no harm. Along come a police, he took me by the arm. It was down in Memphis, corner of Beale and Main. He says, big boy, you'll have to tell me your name. Doodly-ay-oh-dly.
Jimmy Rogers, it can be safely said, made his career playing blues. True, the sentimental tunes he recorded sold well too, but it's his blues numbers we hear in our heads when his name comes up. Just to confuse things further, his accompanists on Blue Yodel No. 9, which we just heard, are Louis and Lil Armstrong. And although it's hard to say just where Rogers' yodel came from, his records sold well enough that young Chester Burnett, who traveled with Robert Johnson, said he was inspired by it to create the whoop which gave him his stage name, Howlin' Wolf.
Ooh.
Nor was Rogers the only country musician of the 1930s who mined the black tradition and shaped it to his own ends.
Corrine, Corrina, where you been so long? Tell me, Corrina, where you been so long? Ain't had no lovin' since you've been gone.
Oh, Corrina. Yes, Leon, swing out, boy, swing out.
Bob Wills, who picked cotton as a youth with black sharecroppers in West Texas, mixed the fiddle tunes he'd learned from his grandfather with ideas he heard on Count Basie and Fletcher Henderson records, and, with his band the Texas Playboys, laid the rules for the music which became known as Western Swing. Note that Corrine Corrina, an early hit of his, is a straightforward blues and comes directly from black sources. Everything we've heard so far was recorded before the radio became all pervasive and before radio played phonograph records. Once that happened, things really got mixed up.
Ed Ward currently lives in Berlin.